Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You can kick it at Floyd Stadium this Saturday. MTSU Blue Raiders take on Old Dominion and the Monarchs this Saturday at Floyd Stadium. Get to the game early and experience the Grove tailgate area. Don't forget to also check out Blue Raider Beer Garden and Family Fun Zone. Hear all of the action for MTSU football on 94.9 Game 2. Kickoff for MTSU and Old Dominion starts at 3:30. Not a huge slate of college football action. We're efforting Adam Bingen right here, having some phone issues, so we'll get to him in just a second. But not a big slate of college football action. We'll get to a lot more of that stuff coming up tomorrow and Friday on the show is Penn State, Ohio State taking place. Tennessee, Missouri is turning into a huge football game. The more and more I look at the schedule around the country this weekend, Derek. So rankings out last night, in case you missed it. LSU 1, Ohio State 2, Clemson 3, Georgia 4. Again, essentially the same four teams that were there last week. And, you know, Alabama 5 was interesting. Oklahoma at 9, they only moved up one spot after beating Baylor. On the road, an undefeated Baylor team that, you know, they didn't give up a point in the second half. Oklahoma only moves up to the ninth spot, one spot. Here's the one that I want to get into. We're going to discuss this a lot more tomorrow. And that is, do people have a problem, in theory, with Penn State being ahead of Minnesota, despite Minnesota winning the head-to-head? And I think on the surface, people immediately jump to the conclusion of that's ridiculous. Why isn't head-to-head matter? Well, they've played 10 games. Don't the other nine games matter too?
Yeah.
So I think we can get into that a little bit more tomorrow as well, because Penn State, not that it matters for Penn State or Georgia, because all their games are ahead of them. Mm-hmm. If they win out, they're going to get in. If they don't, they're not in.
Exactly. Plain and simple.
It's very easy for Georgia and Penn State. I'm not sure it's as easy for Oklahoma or the Pac-12. I think they almost need some help to get in. So those are your playoff rankings from last night. We have not really talked a lot about it today, but we will get into that a lot more tomorrow. But pretty boring rankings last night.
Yeah, I mean, other than, you know, what happened after number four, I don't think there's any shock factor to it. But I do wonder why Oklahoma didn't get more kudos for winning that game the way they did in the second half, not allowing points. And Baylor's a good team. You know, I know they won all their games close, but they're a good team. And to shut them down, don't allow a point in the second half. I mean, you know, largest comeback in Oklahoma school history. That should mean something, but I guess it doesn't. You go from 10 to 9.
Yeah, we'll find out. They got TCU, Oklahoma State, and then another probably game with Baylor. I don't know if it's enough to get him into the playoff. We'll find out. Adam Bingen joining us here from The Athletic. Adam, can you hear me, buddy? How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
So I don't know if you've heard us talking last segment or just in general on the show today, but I realized that there were positives to be taken from last night. They played a better defensive game overall. They were more physical with a couple of new faces in the lineup. I thought UC Saros played fairly well. But at the end of the day, you're a sixth place team that's lost 7 out of 8, and you trailed for every single minute of the game. Is that fair assessment of what you saw last night in a critical situation?
Yeah, and I think Nick Bonino said it well after the game, that at this point, all that matters is winning. You know, even if every game of this 7 out of 8 loss slump hasn't been as disastrous as the game against Colorado or the huge scoreboard against Chicago, they're not winning games. And the teams around them are in the division. I mean, Dallas, for example, has points in 12 of 13. Winnipeg they've won all three games on this road trip that they're on right now, which ends in Dallas tomorrow. Colorado continues to win. St. Louis continues to pick up points. They're falling behind. Not only are they losing, but every team that they need to beat is winning. So at this point, you know, to use the old sports cliche, there are no moral victories. Now, this team needs points, and they need them fast.
Now, Adam, what is it that you feel the team can do, because obviously, you know, reading your article in The Athletic, and people should go check it out, the Predators mailbag, and you talk about, you know, Laviolette's impatience with the line and everything else. He tried to do some things last night. Did it minimize the opponent's scoring? Yes, it did. And you can say the first goal was a fluke goal, but it didn't ultimately end in a win. So what more can they do without, you know, jeopardizing what they do on offense?
Now, that's a good question, because, you know, in the previous seven games before last night, you know, over the course of that six, when it was six losses in seven games, goaltending was the biggest problem. They were actually doing a fairly decent job of limiting quality chances against, but they weren't getting the save. You know, last night, you know, they have a turnover or a bobbled puck in the first 30 seconds that leads to a goal and puts them right on their heels. And I think one of the issues, you know, is the construction of the lineup. For example, I know how great Philip Forsberg, Ryan Johansson, and Victor Arvidsson have been for the last several years. But this year, in a limited sample, they have not been good. For whatever reason, Peter Laviolette has abandoned the Philip Forsberg, Matthew Shea, Mikhail Granlund line at was phenomenal to start the season. And not to minimize the realization of a dream that Matthew Olivier had last night in making his NHL debut, but to scratch Kyle Turris to put in Matthew Olivier is confounding to me. I just don't think that lineup gave them the best chance to succeed. I just think that I understand that at this time with coaches, there's a fine line between giving lines the opportunity to find a rhythm and doing what's necessary to win hockey games. But I look at that lineup last night, and I didn't see a forward group that was put into the best position to win a hockey game. I don't know what they're doing with Kyle Turris. I really don't understand it. And I just think that they need to go back to some of the lines that they had at the beginning of the season. I mean, they're regressing offensively, which we expected because they were playing above their head at the early portion of the season, but it shouldn't be this bad. So they need to figure that out.
Did you like the along those lines, speaking of lines, Adam Vingan joining us here from The Athletic, I did think that Matt Duchene's group yesterday was by far the most active. Is that what you saw with he was paired with Calle Järnkrok and Mikael Granlund? I know Granlund's getting a lot of criticism. Kyle Turris gets scratched. I did think that that group was the most active last night.
Yeah, I mean, I think. I'm sorry. There's a dog battle happening in the air.
Is everybody anyway. Okay? Is everybody okay, Adam?
Yes, everybody is okay. Everybody is okay.
Do you need
sorry.
Us to talk for a second while you get someplace?
Like your boy
dog
retro,
tree?
Man.
No. Everything is good. The dog fight is over. I did think that line played well last night. You know, I give credit to Calle Järnkrok for, you know, being as productive as he was in the top six. I just think the lack of another impact left winger on this team outside of Philip Forsberg is an issue for this group. You know, with respect to Calle Järnkrok, who has played better this season than he did last year offensively at any point, really, you know, he's not a top six caliber winger. And that's the issue. I mean, they tried Craig Smith on his offhand. That didn't work. They tried Kyle Turris during the preseason. They abandoned that. You know, I feel like this group, you know, on paper is the most talented forward group they've had, but it still feels like something's missing. You know, so I do think that Duchene's line was good last night, but, you know, not enough to generate any goals.
Defensively, we've documented the issues. Early, it was defensive issues, then it was penalty kill, then they fixed the penalty kill. They were actually pretty good last night on the penalty kill. Then it's been goaltending. You've documented it in your work at The Athletic as well. But again, it's November, and you have to take everything sort of with relative understanding of the calendar. At what point do you think that these are actual concerns, a la the power play last year or taking too many penalties the year before that?
Well, we heard our first look what the Blues did last year reference inside of the Predators locker room yesterday. That's the first I've heard. I know other teams that have struggled to start the season have used that, but it was the first time I've heard that in the Predators dressing room. But my problem with that logic is that what the Blues did last year, you know, the ability to replicate that is probably, it, just based on percentages, is incredibly slim. Just because one team did it doesn't mean every team's going to do it. I mean, Elliott Freeman has a statistic. I don't have it in front of me, but more often than not, teams that are at least 4 points out of a playoff spot on American Thanksgiving do not make the playoffs. So if the Predators are more than 4 points out of a playoff spot next week, you know, statistics say that they're going to have some tough sledding to make the playoffs. And look, I still think this team is a playoff team. I still think they're going to make the playoffs. But as I said at the beginning, the more that the other teams around them continue to win, the worse it looks. Like, it's not like the entire Central Division is slumping right now. I mean, Chicago was winning. They lost last night, but they were winning. And I mentioned all the other teams before. I mean, they're only 3 points ahead of Minnesota, who I believe is the worst team in the conference. So, you know, if we get to, I'd say if this slide continues for another week or two, I think you can start getting really concerned. But I'm not quite there yet. But if we're still talking about this after Thanksgiving, then I think you have a right to be concerned.
There you go, folks. No panic until after we all get fat and happy on Thanksgiving. It sounds good, Adam.
Correct.
Thank you, my friend.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
Good stuff. Adam Vingan there. And, of course, always check out his stuff at The Athletic as well. Derek, listen, I don't think a Thursday night game in November against Vancouver is like one of those games where you circle and you go, that's the one. But there needs to be some performance progress on Thursday night. They need some points tomorrow night, for sure.
No, you're absolutely right. This is a situation where they need to show, if they indeed switch up the lineup again, they need to show that it's working. They switched up the lineup last night, and it didn't work. And when I say it didn't work, it didn't end up in a win. That's what I mean by it didn't work. Now, did they hold, you know, Winnipeg to two goals? Absolutely. And you can say, again, one of those goals was just a fluky goal. Yes, they did. But ultimately, it didn't end up in a win. So what do you do tomorrow night to try to get a victory?
In light of the Battle of the Boulevard, of course, Lipscomb and Belmont tonight, I will quote the late, great Don Meyer, one of the great basketball coaches in the history of the sport in this country. What are you going to do next? You got to put it all behind you because you got like 62 more games to go. So what are you going to do next? Doesn't matter if you won by 5 goals last night or lost by a goal. Doesn't matter. Put it away. Pack it up. You got one more tomorrow night. 2 more points on the line. You got to make progress. It's bottom line. You got to make progress. You're a sixth place team, and you got to make some progress. But Adam Vingan did just say, we're not allowed to panic until after Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
So that's cool. So everyone rest easy until after Thanksgiving.
We can overreact, though. It's a difference.
When are we allowed to overreact?
Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays.
Mondays and Wednesdays, Thursdays. Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Fridays.
But not Fridays.
Well, no.
The day after Thanksgiving, which is when Adam just told us we could overreact.
Well, see, we can overreact on...
But overreacting is different than panicking, right?
No, that's kind of all
are,
on the same
line. Those are two different things.
Because when you're overreacting, aren't you panicking?
Not necessarily. Maybe. I think they're different.
Oh. Yeah.
We will discuss during the break and spare you the conversation.
Yeah.
Big finish when we come back.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.